The grace of the Lord be with you. Welcome to worship today. We're glad to see every one of you. Invite you to sign the friendship register, the booklet you should find inside the aisle of your pew, and pass that down. Make sure everyone gets a chance to sign it. We're so glad that you're here to worship God together. Let me invite you to take note of the announcements in your bulletin. Let me start with the insert. Our evangelism committee wants to look at new ways to reach out. Part of the sermon series that I'll be preaching beginning today is Why Are We Here? And part of why we're here is not just for ourselves, but for others. So they've come up with some ideas about ways to reach out, and they would like to see if you would like to just explore. If you check this, it doesn't mean you're signing up for something for life, but just, you know, are you interested in participating or talking about how this might work? And then there's even a place for you to add your own idea at the bottom. So please consider filling that out and placing it in the offering plate today. Notice that the men's breakfast and Bible study begins this Tuesday. Women's Bible study started last week. Men's will start this week in the fellowship hall at 7:30. Men, if you have not come before, please come. We provide food for you, so you get, you know, a free breakfast and plus a fellowship and Bible study. We have a great time together, so we'd love to see you there this Tuesday at 7:30. Notice the Funsters events that are coming up soon. Some of these I'm going to have to get tickets for in advance, so I need for you to, if you're interested, to sign up. So go ahead and, especially the first one, consider signing up today if you haven't already. We've got a good number already, but there's room for more, so you can sign up on the bulletin board in the hallway. Notice that women's circles will be meeting tomorrow, and let me make a correction. 7 o'clock tomorrow night, Katie Joy will not be home. It'll be at Caroline Davis's house, so make that correction in your bulletin. Notice on the back of your bulletin, the Senior Singles Valentine Lunch. That will be coming up on February the 9th, so we need you to sign up for that in advance, and that sign-up sheet is on the bulletin board in the hallway as well. Look with me now at our prayer list. I told you last Sunday to be praying for Hazel Guthrie, that she had an appointment on Tuesday with the surgeon, and she did not get the news that she wanted to hear. The surgeon is not going to be able to operate even after all the months of chemo that she's been through. So, but that does not mean Hazel's with us today. That does not mean that we stop praying for Hazel. That means we pray for her all the more. And sometimes it's hard to know exactly how to pray. I understand that. But just pray for God's strength and mercy to be present in Hazel's life. Hazel, we love you, and we're just going to continue to pray for you. And just invite you to continue for your prayers for Hazel Guthrie. Also be praying for Rebecca Osborne. She's having hip replacement surgery this Friday in Durham. So be in prayer for Rebecca and for her recovery. Also added to the prayer list, Second Lieutenant Carson Steins. He's, as you might know, he's been stationed for months in Bahrain, but that's in the Middle East. And with things going on right now, we just especially want to pray for Carson's safety. Are there any other prayer concerns or praises that you would like to mention today? Okay.
So, every year in January, Graham High School sends students to participate in all these functions, which include bands and all over the district. It goes as far west as Guilford County, far east as Durham. First time in my 7 years, I have auditioned and secured spots in the band. Eighth-place trumpet and a fourth-place baritone. One more, make an alternate. That's the first time Graham has ever had kids in district in the last 10 years. Not only that, just to brag just a little bit, there were 5 high schools that brought them: Eastern, Southern, Western, Williams, and us. Our 3 match the input from Williams, Western, and Southern. They had 3 combined. We had 3. The only team to beat us. So very excited for that. Those guys will have their concert on February 1st in Guilford County. So I'll let you know when that is if you'd like to come out and watch them. all means, come let me know. But thank you all for your support. We're super excited.
Let's celebrate along with Kyle. Thank you so much. All right, today is a very special day in the life of our congregation. You'll see in your bulletin that we're celebrating a very special birthday today. Annie Lee Smith is 95 years old. It can't be, can it? Now let me tell you about Annie Lee. I went to see her this week and was talking about her birthday coming up. I said, Annie Lee, you're going to be turning 95. Really? I said, and I've planned, you know, I fudged a little bit, but I said, I've planned a very special birthday party for you. And she raised her arms up. She said, let's party. I don't know that I've ever seen another 95-year-old that is that quick to party as Annie Lee. And Annie Lee, we love you for it. You know what she said next? She said, are you going to pay for it? She knew how to get me. Annie Lee, we celebrate. And one way we're celebrating today, Jeanette, Annie Lee's daughter, one of her daughters, is going to be playing some special duets with Barbara Byrd. You'll see in your bulletin. The first one for the prelude is called The Gift of Love, which I think is very appropriate. Jeanette, this is a gift of love from you today to your mom, but it's also because of God's love for us that we're here to celebrate today. So let us prepare for worship as we hear The Gift of Love. I was worth coming just to hear that, wasn't it? And there's more to come, so we're thankful. Let me invite you now, as you're able, to stand together, and we'll join our voices in the call to worship. Long ago, a man named John appeared in the wilderness preaching a baptism of repentance, and this was his message. There is one coming after me who is more powerful than I. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Let us join in praising God for the gift of Jesus, his beloved Son, in whom God is well pleased. Let us pray. Oh Lord, the thing that brings us here today is your love for us. We thank you for that great gift that you gave us in and through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Spend the rest of our lives exploring how great, how marvelous, how deep your love for us really is. Help us to believe that in spite of the circumstances of our lives that might try to get us to not believe it, but help us to believe it this day as we worship you through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Please be seated. I invite you now to confess your sins before the Lord using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us join our voices and our hearts together as we pray the prayer together. Let us pray. Creator of all worlds, we confess that we have been inconsistent in all the ways that we have promised to follow your Son Jesus. Between our actions and the best we know, we see a wide gap that we cannot bridge. O God, reclaim us and help us to reclaim our baptism. We need your healing, forgiving, transforming Spirit. Amen. Reminded of the words of a very old hymn. Annie Lee, this hymn is even older than you are. Rock of Ages. You remember that hymn, Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me? Well, one of the verses of that hymn goes like this. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. In other words, no matter how much I do, could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? Could I just, you know, cry and give all that I could? Even that would but not be enough. All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Christian friends, we have just confessed that we're sinners, that we're not good enough for God's glory. We don't measure up to all that God wants us to be. The good news of the gospel is that our salvation is not based in us and what we do. It's in Jesus Christ our Savior. Thou must save and thou alone. And Jesus has saved us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Invite all the children now to come down front. As they're coming, why don't you greet someone close by you, let them know you're glad to see them today. I'm going to have y'all sit on the front row. Rosalie, sit right here on the front row. Okay, have you sit right there on the front row. Ed, it looks, I like that. You went from the back row to the front row. That's good. All right. Y'all have a seat. What? Here. Well, Leah, we start sitting over here now. We're running room here, so we're this front seat as well. So everybody can be on the front row. Okay. All right, thank you for coming forward today. We're going to do something special right now, a front row seat. We're going to be setting apart some new leaders in our church, and one day, who knows, one day one of you might be one of the leaders in this church or some other church somewhere else. So I am going to call now for those that are going to be ordained and installed today, Dave Dillard, Julie Parrish, if you would come forward now. You'll see that Bill Joy, Bill is at another worship experience this weekend. So he will be installed next Sunday. If you're wondering, it's kind of an orange variety of worship. Jim Watts, Bob Bickle, and Jeanette Gray. So if y'all would come forward, stand right here in the middle. You'll see that Dave and Julie and Jim are being installed today, and Bob and Jeanette are going to be ordained and installed. Okay? So the way they got here, let me explain it to you a little bit. The way it works is that you elect a nominating committee. You elect three members of the nominating committee, session appoints two. And then they do their work in choosing who will be the leaders for the church for the next year. And they bring those names to the session and then to you, the congregation. So you have voted that these would be your leaders for next year. Then they've gone through training to help them understand what leadership in the church is all about. And so today they come before you to be ordained and installed for the coming year. So first, I'm going to ask you the constitutional questions that are asked of all church officers in the Presbyterian Church USA. Do you trust in Jesus Christ, your Savior, acknowledge Him Lord of all and head of the church, and through Him believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you? Do you accept the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be by the Holy Spirit the unique and authoritative witness to Jesus Christ and the Church Universal and God's Word to you? Do you? Do you sincerely receive and adopt the essential tenets of the Reformed faith as expressed in the confessions of our church as authentic and reliable expositions of what Scripture leads us to believe and do? And will you be instructed and led by those confessions as you lead the people of God? Do you and will you? Will you fulfill your office in obedience to Jesus Christ under the authority of Scripture and be continually guided by our confessions? Will you? Will you be governed by our church's polity, and will you abide by its discipline? Will you be a friend among your colleagues in ministry, working with them, subject to the ordering of God's Word and Spirit? Will you? Will you in your own life seek to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, love your neighbors, and work for the reconciliation of the world? Will you? You promise to further the peace, unity, and purity of the church, do you? Will you seek to serve the people with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Will you? Will you be a faithful ruling elder, watching over the people, providing for their worship, nurture, and service? Will you share in government and discipline, serving in councils of the church? And in your ministry, will you try to show the love and justice of Jesus Christ? Will you? Okay. Now there are questions for you, the congregation, to respond as part of this ordination. Do you, the members of Graham Presbyterian Church, accept Dave Dillard, Julie Parrish, Jim Watts, Bob Bickle, and Jeanette Gray as ruling elders chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to lead us in the way of Jesus Christ? Do you? Do you agree to encourage them to respect their decisions and to follow as they guide you, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? Do you? But this time, I'm going to invite any elders or ministers who'd like to come forward and participate in the ordination, if you would come now. In the example of the apostles in the book of Acts, we're going to lay hands on them to set them apart for the work that God has given them to do. And we're going to invite you, if you're able, to kneel. Okay. As we part for what God has called them to do, let us join together in prayer. We'll. Jesus Christ, and for this congregation, giving thanks. God bless you. Thanks for being willing to serve, Julie. God bless you. Thank you so much. Now, let me explain going on. These people have served as elders or ministers in the church before, and so they get to come up and participate, and they're now welcoming them and saying, we're glad that you are here, glad that you're serving in our church. You're probably, aren't you?
I
am. Absolutely. Yeah, I know.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Sure. Do you feel the love? We do love you and appreciate you so much, okay? We're going to invite now the children. Mr. Paul, we follow him. Julie, okay. Thank you so much, and please be seated. Well, I read about one church where the pastor was kind of fed up with the excuses people gave about why they didn't come to church. You know, they didn't come half the time, and they always gave some excuse. So he published in the Sunday Bulletin 10 Reasons Why I Never Wash. And you'll see a parallel between some of these and why people say they don't come to church. 10 Reasons Why I Never Wash. I was forced to as a child. People who wash are hypocrites. They think they're cleaner than everybody else. There's so many different kinds of soap, I can't decide which is best. I used to wash, but I got bored and stopped. I wash only on special occasions like Christmas and Easter. None of my friends wash. I'll start washing when I get older and dirtier. I can't spare the time to wash. The bathroom is never warm enough in winter or cool enough in summer, so I don't bother. And then the last one, people who make soap are only after your money. Bottom line, in spite of all these excuses, we still wash, right? But we sometimes do have excuses for not coming to church. On another note, it's important what we name what we do. For example, by what name, if those of you who are married, by what name do you call your spouse? My wife's name is Joy, but I usually don't call her Joy. When we're at home and I need her, I usually say, honey. I don't know why I chose honey. I guess because it sounds better than hey you or battle axe or, you know, something like that. But for some reason, I started calling her honey, and whenever I call her, I just say honey. Well, it's important what you name something. So what do you call what we do here when we come to church together? I've heard it called church. I've heard it called preaching. I've heard it called worship. It just so happens I grew up in the Baptist church, and the particular church that I went to, the room that we met in on Sunday mornings, we called the auditorium. That's just what we called it. But then when I became Presbyterian, I noticed that people called it the sanctuary. I like that better. It, I think, more accurately describes this space and its purpose and why we're here. I say that what we're doing here today, we call worship. Now, I'm beginning a brand new series today. The series is called Why Are We Here? You can take that in a couple of ways. You can take it, why are we here on earth? Also, why are we here as Graham Presbyterian Church? And I'm going to answer that question. You can answer it in a lot of different ways, but I'm going to answer it by thinking about five different directions in which we look. Okay? Today is the first one, looking up to God. We worship God. That has to come first. Now, all the others are important, but this has to come first, that worship helps us understand how to put everything else in place in our lives. We have to start with God. The problem is, this is called sin, the problem is, where do we usually start? We start with ourselves. We start with what I want and what I think we ought to do. But we need to start with God. Worship is a shortened form of an old English word, worth-ship. It means placing value on another person or object. Things have value because we assign value to them. Suppose, I've got two sheets of paper here in my hand. Suppose that one of these was just a piece of paper that I'd printed some words on, but this other one had a barcode on it, and the barcode would get you and a guest into the Super Bowl. Okay? Now, which piece of paper would you think was more valuable? The one that just had some words on it, or the one with the barcode to the Super Bowl? By the way, the average value last year of ticket to the entrance to the Super Bowl was $5,240. And that's face value. They were sold, of course, for more than that in many places. So which one is more valuable? Well, what value do we assign to God? How can you tell? Well, how much do you talk about Him? What do you say when you talk about Him? How much do you listen to God? How much do you think about God? You see, you start thinking like that and think, well, I don't know that I assign a lot of value to God. Well, we come together on Sunday mornings to worship, to remind ourselves that God is to be the most important person in our whole life. And that He is the most valuable person in our life. He's to be valued above all things. Why then should we worship God? Well, the Psalms are a good place to start. I want you to turn your bulletin to where I have the scripture for the sermon, Psalm 95, verses 1 to 7. We're going to read these out loud together, so turn your bulletin to look at it. There are all different kinds of psalms, 150 psalms in the Psalter, in the Bible. They're all different types, but one type is a hymn of praise, and it follows a particular format in the Hebrew language in which it is written. It begins with a call to praise, saying you ought to praise God, and then It's followed by a reason for praise, using the Hebrew word ki, meaning because. God doesn't just say, you ought to praise me. And you say, God, why? And God says, because I said so. Parents, you ever said that? Sometimes that's our answer. But God doesn't do that with us. He says, you ought to praise me, and here's why. Let me give you some good reasons why you ought to praise God. So let's look at Psalm 95. Let's start. We're not going to read the whole thing together. We're going to read it in these four sections. So let's start with the call to praise. Okay, let's read this together. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. You notice how singing is an integral part of worship. It's not just coming before the Lord, but singing praise to him. Okay, that part of the psalm tells us to do it. Now, let's find out why. Why should we sing songs of praise to the Lord? Let's begin reading with verse 3. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land which his hands have formed. You see why you ought to praise God? Because this God is a great King above all gods. He is the one who made everything that we see and everything that we can't see. He's the one who made us. And then the psalmist cycles back to another call to praise. Let's read together verse 6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Okay, let us worship God. The call to let us declare God's worthiness to be praised, God's worship. And let us bow down when we recognize who God is. We bow in humility before him to worship him. Now, why should we do that? Verse 7. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. We ought to worship God, and here are reasons why. And then let us look in the New Testament at Colossians chapter 3. You have to look in your pew Bibles for this, page 1090. Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And then verse 17, which I used with the elders, with their ordination. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. So is worship something that I only do 1 hour a week at church? No, worship is supposed to be my entire life, my life's response to God. So let me share with you five basic principles of worship. You can follow along in your bulletin. First, worship is not for you, but for God. Worship is not for you, but for God. Remember how I said we want to start with us and what we want and what our needs are, but we need to start with God. If worship is placing great value and worth in God, then it's designed toward God and not to you. See, everything in our society today seems to be me-centered, me-focused. You see it in all the advertising. For example, they advertise Hungry Man dinners. What do they say about them? It's good to be full. I guess they should say it's good to be fat, but they say it's good to be full. Why? It's good for me to have all my desires met. People approach the church in the same way as consumers. What do people say when they move into a new area and they start going around to different churches trying to find the right church? They say, I've been church shopping. That's what they say. They're looking for a church that best meets their needs. Now, to some extent, I understand that. But that shouldn't be our main focus. People come out of church on Sunday morning and say to each other, or maybe you say it when you get in the car or when you're sitting at lunch eating, you say, well, what'd you get out of that? As if you have been to a concert or a performance where I am the performer and you are the audience. And I perform and you sit there and listen and think, well, I didn't get much out of that today. Or, you know, Steve just wasn't very interesting today. But see, that's not the way it is in worship. I'm not the performer and you're not the audience. Do you know who the audience is? God is the audience. We are worshiping God together. We do it in different ways, through singing, prayer, preaching. But all of it is something that we all are offering from our hearts to God. God is the audience. It shouldn't be, what did I get out of that? But what did God get out of that today? Because we're offering it to God. Secondly, worship is not a part of your life. It is your life. Worship is not a part of your life. It is your life. That's what I read in Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, in word or deed, whatever it is, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What can you do as part of your worship? Is going to school worship? Yes. Going to work? Washing clothes? Changing a diaper? Eating a meal? Going to a ball game? Yeah, it's all worth. Everything that we do, whatever we do, we should be doing it as unto the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then thirdly, worship includes music, but it's not just about music. It includes music, but it's not just about music. Some churches name their worship services based on the type of music that they have. And that's understandable. But what is not understandable to me is when somebody says that there's only one type of music that is the way to worship God, whether it's classical music or rock music or anything else. It's not like there's only one style that is the only way to worship God. For example, look at Psalm 150. The Bible talks about using all kinds of different musical instruments to praise God. It's as if the more the merrier. Let's get them all together. Let's use them all. The trumpet, the harp, the lyre, the timbrel, dancing, strings, pipe, cymbals. They're all mentioned. Use all of them to make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. And do you notice what we read in Colossians 3:16? Give thanks and show your gratitude by singing psalms. That would be songs from Scripture. Hymns. That would be like portions we find in the New Testament, hymns about Christ. Spiritual songs, songs prompted by the Holy Spirit. Use all of them to bring praise to God. So worship includes music. Anytime in the Psalms, just about, you hear them, the people of God being called to praise, songs are mentioned. Music is a very, very important part of worship. I cannot imagine worshiping God without any music, but yet it's not just music. It's what we give God from our hearts. Number four, worship includes other people. It includes other people. Yes, I can worship by myself at home or in my office or in the car, wherever I am during the week, but that's not the total norm for worship. In the New Testament, the norm for worship is the community of believers coming together to worship God. Now, let me be honest with you. In even the years that I have served as pastor, both here and in Durham, there have been some Sundays that I did not feel like worshiping God. There have been some Sundays where we would sing, there would be a hymn assigned to sing, and I would not feel like singing the words of that hymn. Maybe I was depressed. Maybe it was a time in my life where I'm not saying I didn't believe in God, but I didn't feel the emotion of what was in that hymn or song. And you know what? That's the good thing about the community. There will be days that you will not feel like praising God. But you come here, and it's almost like we're saying, okay, I don't feel like singing this hymn today, but you sing it for me. You sing it for me until I feel like singing it again. You know what I mean? Because we're all in this together. We're a community. It's so important for us to stay connected so that when I'm down, you can help pick me up. And maybe on a Sunday when you're down, I can help pick you up. We can rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those who weep. And then the fifth principle, if you're not worshiping, you're frustrated. If you're not worshiping, you're frustrated. You may not even know why you're frustrated, but you know why you're frustrated if you're not worshiping? Because that's what God made you for. Kind of a silly example, but let's say I had a hammer up here. What's a hammer designed to do? A hammer's designed to pound. If that hammer sits on a shelf and it never gets used, if a hammer knew what it was, it would be frustrated. Why? Because it's not doing what it was made to do. God made us to worship Him. The chief end of human beings is to praise God, worship God, enjoy God forever. And so that's what we're made to do. So when we're not doing it, we get frustrated. And you know what happens? We turn in other directions. And it comes out in different ways, our frustration, because we're not worshiping God and doing what we're made to do. Now, I found this, you'll see in your bulletin, the letters for worship, putting it together in a saying to kind of describe what worship means. You look at it. With all my heart, soul, and strength, for only the one true God, in reverence, service, and humility, in everything I do, may my life always bring pleasure to you. That wouldn't be bad as a morning prayer when you get up in the morning to think about, Lord, today with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength, for the one true God, in today, in reverence, service, and humility, in everything I do, may my life always bring pleasure to you. Why are we here? Well, first and foremost, looking up, we worship God. We remember who God is. We find out how much God loves us, and we respond by declaring how valuable God is in our lives and declaring God's worthship. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you that we can come together today with a common purpose. We're different people and we have different agendas and different likes and dislikes, but we can all agree on this, that you are the one true God, that you deserve to be worshiped and praised and adored and loved above all others. And even though we know that we don't do that fully in our life every day, that is our heart's desire. That is our aim, that we would indeed worship you above all others. So, Lord, help us to remember our purpose and to declare that and to show that in our life each day. Lord, we thank you for all of your blessings and all the ways that you provide for us. And we thank you that we can come before you and share honestly the burdens that are upon our hearts. Lord, we pray for Hazel and pray that you would comfort and encourage her. Lord, be with Rebecca, especially on Friday, and provide healing for her body. Lord, we pray for protection, continued protection for Carson. You'd watch over him. And Lord, today we do celebrate Annie Lee and her whole family. We're so glad that they could be with us, and pray your special blessings on all of them. May they give thanks to you this day for what you have done in their family's life to provide for them and to give them all the blessings they have. So, Lord, we pray to you now in and through our Savior Jesus Christ, even as we pray together the prayer he taught his followers to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now respond to God's blessings and the gifts that we give. And as we listen to this song, let me invite you to use it as a time of prayer to God and say, Lord, thank you for what you've done, and indeed it is well with my soul. Oh, Lord, we give you all honor and praise. We show it through these gifts. We show it through the songs that we present to you, the music. Lord, may all of it bring you the praise that you deserve through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Just a moment after the benediction, you're going to sing the benediction response. And then I'm going to invite you to be seated so that you can hear the Pope. Jeanette, you've got an open invitation to come back. Don't wait for another birthday. Barbara, thank you so much. Both of you, great job you've done. As I think about here, sermon today, ordination, installation of officers, this beautiful music. I feel like we can't do enough to praise God in all the ways that God deserves to be praised. The song we just sang, I love that, "Life Shall Not End the Strain." You know, what we're doing right now in praising God, we're going to be doing forever. One day, yeah, we're going to die. We're going to pass away. But that won't stop the praise. The praise goes on forever and ever in God's presence. So indeed, may God be praised as God deserves to be praised with all that is within us. Let us praise God's holy name now and forever. Amen.